This is a CK to Z news update. The Cortez Community Health Association, CCHA, just released an appeal to the island community for monetary donations to continue its after-school programming for kids aged 7 to 17. Jody Peters, Youth Programs Manager for CCHA, explained that the COVID-19 pandemic pushed the programs outdoors year-round, which has meant hiring additional staff.
We used to do programming, especially for the older kids, all over the place. And we do indoors and outdoors and different skill building stuff with different people in Cortez. And then, as you probably know, COVID changed a lot of the rules around everything. And so we lost access to the gym and the library. When that became unavailable, I made the decision to move all of our programs outdoors year round, because I had a pretty good sense that that would allow us to keep the programs running more consistently, given that the outdoor environment was generally regarded as much safer than indoor environments and was less likely to be closed down. And that proved really true. So we've been able to offer all of our programs, at least since September 2020 and right through to this year. And one of the reasons why we find ourselves short of funds is we need to have two adults now attending every program just for safety outdoors, as well as it's part of our COVID mitigation plan, because if we have a child that exhibits symptoms, we have to isolate them from the group. And we obviously cannot have an adult isolating a child from a group and then have nobody with the group. So we shifted our policy to have two adults present at every single session that we ever operate. And that significantly increased our expenses.
Fortunately, there have also been significant benefits to both having an extra adult on hand, as well as taking the groups outdoors, rain or shine.
What we found is for some of the programs, that's been a fabulous fit, which has resulted in a really wonderful level of adult to child ratio and a lot of really wonderful relationship building and connection, because there's just more adult attention to go around. For the coordinated facilitators, it became a much easier program to facilitate and there was less burnout. In part, the way kids behave when they're outside is quite different than when they're in a gym or in a contained area, especially after school programming being in the school that most of the kids have just spent the whole day in. I actually facilitate the Kids in Action program for the 7 to 9 year olds. And about 2 years ago, it mostly happened in the gym all winter long, and then it would move out to do hikes and field trips a little bit more in the later spring. But it mostly every Wednesday after school was in the gym, and that was anywhere between 8 to 15, 7 to 9 year olds coming out of school and home learners arrive, and then just cramming themselves into the gym with a lot of pent up energy and a lot of the exhaustion of what it takes for younger kids to deal with school all day. We had a great facilitator and she handled it marvelously, but there was a lot of meltdowns and there was a lot of energy that needed attending to. And I subbed for that a little bit and I barely felt I had the skill set to really manage that well. And then when we had to shift to outdoor programming, that facilitator was unavailable. And so I ended up facilitating it. What I noticed was the benefit to the children of doing an outdoor hike after school. It's just amazing. They just run out into the field in all weather. And then we do this hike from the school field down to the lagoon. And it takes us about 20 to 25 minutes. And the kids spread out along that trail. They have so much space. They can be connected or they can take their own space. We have an adult at the front and an adult at the back. And I just kind of watched the forest absorb so much of some of the frustration or the pent up energy. It's incredible. It's a joy to facilitate. And it's just really exciting to watch kids bounce off every log, not have boundaries in the same way that you have an inside space, but just really be able to move throughout the landscape in a very free way.
There's another issue Peters noticed that she would like to address in the future.
Our numbers dropped a little bit because it's not maybe as accessible for some families. Honestly, there's a deficit in children having appropriate winter clothing and shoes. When programming is after school in the gym, it doesn't matter. The kids can just wear their daily clothes. But when you are on a hike year round, gear is essential. And that's a whole nother maybe fundraising campaign. I think it would take a little bit more coordination to connect with families in a respectful and non-intrusive way to see if we could help them. So that's something I'll probably work on developing. That has just occurred to me recently that that is actually a barrier to outdoor youth programming on Cortez. And so it takes a little while for me then to figure out how to address it.
The programs run parallel to the school year from September to June.
Right now we have 4 after-school youth programs. 3 of them are outdoor activity programs, Kids in Action for ages 7 to 9, Ventures in Leadership for ages 10 to 12, and then the Teen Scene for ages 13 to 17. And then we have an after-school sports-specific activity program that's for ages 7 to 15, and all of those operate after school on different days of the week.
And are open to children of those age groups, regardless of whether they attend the island school or homeschool.
It's actually very specifically open to all children of Cortez. So the youth programs were developed by a mom who sat on the CCHA board, and she saw a real disconnect between home learners and school kids. And so a big founding principle of the youth programs was to be inclusive of all kids on Cortez and to offer a facilitated space for home learners and kids that attend the public school to play and share and gather together and see each other. So it's a really important part of our programs to make sure we're accessible to both communities. And we're quite mixed in terms of we have school kids and we have home learners attending all of our programs.
There were some very special opportunities for children and youth this year through CCHA initiatives.
This year, I basically, as the youth programs manager, took just about every opportunity to make programming happening that was available, just because COVID mitigation measures had shut down so many options for youth programming and even just for youth to leave the island and do different things. And so I got pretty excited when partnerships were offered, and one of them was Cortez Kayaks and Kai Harvey offering to take the 2 older kids programs on some overnight kayak trips with her company. And so we went for it, and it was wonderful. It was really quite epic, fun, and really well attended. 9 kids went on the Adventures in Leadership trip, and maybe 11 or 12 teens ended up going on the Teen Scene trip. And they both had really memorable experiences that I got tons of positive feedback from parents and from kids and teens, that it was just a really quite important experience for them to have after just a lot of disappointing doors closed in the last year and a half for them to do fun stuff together with their friends like this. So that was really exciting. And then another thing we did in the same kind of spirit of trying to just find opportunities for creative expression and for community connection, we partnered with the microgrants for neighbors that Folk U runs, and just tried with our program budgets to fund about anything we could that was connected to youth.
Some of these microgrants went to a creativity and action kit, a tent for classes and workshops, an introduction to wood carving, a pop-up basketball court, and community dinners.
It was really empowering to see funds that we had moving into the community and doing projects and serving youth. And then it was just a bit challenging because sometimes costs were higher than expected. And we were running on a really, really thin line with hiring the extra facilitators. And our funding hadn't caught up to hiring of 2 facilitators for every program. And then we kind of added the additional just getting programming happening with the microgrants and the kayak trips. And that's kind of why we're in this position where I really do need extra funds to make it from November to February.
She then explained the fundraising goal and how to donate.
For this program's appeal, like just within the community of Cortez, we're hoping to raise $5,000 between now and year end. And if we did that, we would basically be able to cover our expenses for the programs until February when we get our gaming grant. And that way we wouldn't have to do either a pause in the programming. Every little bit helps. It even helps if someone can just donate $20 or $50. For most people, donating online seems to be the easiest. And you go to our website, which is cortezfamily.ca. And there's a little menu at the top and you click on donate, which takes you to the donate page. And then you click on donate now, which takes you to our Charity Village interface. And you just fill in your information, gives you a spot to choose what campaign you're funding, and you choose youth programs appeal. And then we have the ability, because we're a charity, to issue tax receipts. We can send you either by email or mail.
You've been listening to an interview with Jody Peters, Youth Programs Manager for the Cortez Community Health Association, about their fundraising appeal for youth after-school programs.